Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
What about gas prices? Because some gas states are seeing...
Gas prices relate to a foreign policy initiative that is about something that goes beyond the cost of gas. And we're about $3.30 a gallon most places now, when it's up from, was down in the single digits. I mean, single digits, a dollar plus. And that's because of the supply being withheld by OPEC. And so there's a lot of negotiation that is... There's a lot of Middle Eastern folks want to talk to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'm going to talk to them, but the point is, it's about gas production. There's things we can do in the meantime, though.
Do you think there's a, I mean, do you see, a, do you have a timeline for gas prices of when you think they may start coming down?
My guess is you'll start to see gas prices come down as we get by and going into the winter, I mean, excuse me, into next year in 2022. I don't see anything that's going to happen in the meantime that's going to significantly reduce gas prices.
Lovely. Yeah. Just lovely. I mean, you know, it's not like we couldn't have, I don't know, maybe continued to provide cheap and accessible and clean gas and oil to the world market.
We were an exporter. We were drilling.
Dude, we were like beating the Saudis at this. And now we're like, can we please have some more oil? Walking up like Tiny Tim. Can I have some more oil? Jeez. Good grief. Welcome back to the show. It's Friday. So we're happy to be with you today. I hope that you're having a good day so far. All right. So this town hall last night, I'm going to tell you something. I got some notes from the clips that I watched, because I wasn't going to watch the whole thing. I didn't know, and I don't like to see how people struggle. I'm being honest. Do you want me to be honest, or do you want me to be like, I'm going to be... I try really hard to be the better person with a lot of stuff. Don't expect it of me every issue, okay? It's asking too much of me. I don't think that this was a successful town hall for him. And I do not understand at all how there's anybody at all on the left who thinks that it could have been. So a couple of things on this, his little town hall. I don't know who decided this was going to be a good idea. Of course, everybody in the audience were pretty much Democrats, and all their questions were super easy. Like, you know, what's your favorite color? I mean, I don't think anybody asked them that I know of, but I wouldn't be surprised. Just saying, I wouldn't be surprised with us. Because it was just weird. It was just so, like the part where he whispered again. Why does he do this? Listen to this, audio summit. Why does he do this? Listen.
You're in a circumstance where corporate America is not paying their fair share. And I come from the corporate state of the world, Delaware. More corporations in Delaware than every other state in the union combined. Okay? Now here's the deal, though. You have 55 corporations, for example, in the United States of America, making over $40 billion, don't pay a cent. Not a single little red cent.
Why does he do that? So this is all related. Just let me tell the story. So there's this movie called The Taking of Deborah Logan. And then there's this other movie called The Visit. And it all has to do with like elderly people. I'm talking like elderly, not, I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking like elderly people, anybody out there in my audience who might be, you know, who might consider themselves such. And it reminds me, when I was a little kid, I saw this one Twilight Zone episode about this bedridden grandmother who ate her grandkid. And it was a terrifying episode. And I saw it where it was young enough to make an impression on me. Terrified me. I think I've kept that. That's why I always mock Kane when he says that elderly people aren't innocent.
That's not what I say. You always do that to me. I just say not all old people are innocent.
But you're saying most of them aren't.
No, I didn't say most even. I just said not all.
Okay, not all. All right. That's pretty interesting. Anyway, so The Taking of Deborah Logan's, it's crazy. It has an old lady involved in that. And then there's The Visit, where these kids go visit their grandparents, except they're not their grandparents. And it's, I don't care if it's a spoiler alert. Come on. You're not going to watch it. So, And there's whenever he does this whispering and makes that mean face, I just get that it just is like a horror film. It is just creepy, dude. It's creepy. Stop it. That's not like a verbal italics. Stop it. Just talk like a normal person. Because that, and then he like leans down and talks real close, and I just can't, I don't like him whispering again. And then he did the white power sign, right? Didn't he do that? Yeah, he gave the white power, because that's supposed to be the white power sign. For, it actually is. Oh my gosh, can I sidebar something with you guys real quick? I'm just going to say a little quick prayer. Hope they don't listen to the radio show. So my youngest, when he went to his homecoming dance, and a big old group of kids got their pictures together, and the kids like to do like the peace hand sign and all of that. And I heard one of the parents say, okay, but no white power hand signs. That's, we don't want that. Guys, I'm going to witness to you here real quick. You know God exists, because I was like, please put a hand over my mouth. God, please bring a mighty, giant, heavenly hand. Place it right on my mouth. Put a piece of iron over it like they did with Wile E. Coyote and, you know, and all those Warner Brother movies. Please, please. And the fact that I did not say anything in response to this is proof of God's existence, because only a divine power could have stopped that. There you go. There it is. There's your church for today. Proof. That's proof, man. That is proof. You know me, Cain. Yeah. If Cain, you would have been like, I can't believe, you would have felt like you witnessed something religious.
Right. I almost would have said it for you.
I mean, it would be like seeing Jesus in toast or something. The fact that I did not say anything because God prevented it. That's the only way that happens. That's the only way. I thought it. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought it. But I didn't say it. I didn't give myself a back pat for that. Hold up. You're so good, Dana. So good. I have a back pat from, back pats for me. It's a true story. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, the white power sign that he did. So is he a racist now? Where's everybody screaming about that? Remember, I mean, they were trying to get like kids in college in trouble, and they were trying to get like these army recruits in trouble, and these, you know, Navy these seamen in trouble. They were trying to get all these people in trouble.
They would literally go after them in the media and have police look for them. It was so weird.
Because they did the Joe Biden white power sign. Well, I'm not surprised that he would know it. I mean, this was a guy who championed segregation. He eulogized the Grand Wizard. The hell are they? They have these imaginary levels. Like, at least Dungeons and Dragons makes sense. I don't know what this is. What was that guy? The old guy who actually said a racial slur on air in front of Matt Lauer, who probably, had he not been, I guess, molesting women in his office at Locked after they entered, would have maybe had time to be more shocked.
I think it was Grand Wizard.
Was it a wizard? Or it's like a narwhal, like the exalted narwhal or something like that, isn't it?
Oh, damn. I got to look that up.
I don't know. It's, anyway, yeah, he like eulogized the exalted narwhal or whatever of his party's activist group, the Klan. So I'm not surprised Joe Biden would know it. No one's surprised at this. But he just like, he was awkward, and he was just awkward. And then Anderson Cooper had to help him remember where he was at one point. He was like, yeah, we're in, and he was in Long Beach. And then Joe's like, why? What am I doing here? And then he just didn't know what to do with his hands. I'm just watching video of his movement. And he stood there for a while, literally like this. Imagine you are trying to think what you're doing. Imagine you're riding a motorcycle or a bicycle, your choice. And then take your fists and then put them to where your thumb is facing up. And then he stood there like that forever. I totally thought of Talladega Nights and that scene where Ricky Bobby's given his first interview and he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. And that he stood there like he was a rocket man getting ready to just fly off into the ether. I don't know. And then he said that he saw the mayor of Baltimore in the audience, and it was actually a congressman who was never a mayor of Baltimore. And there were all kinds of weird, really weird, just weird things. And then he said wages were up, but they're not. They've actually been cut in half because of inflation. I don't know. And then what was this? Audio soundbite 13. For the love.
The question was on the community colleges, which was a big campaign promise that you made. You talked about that along the campaign trail.
Yeah, and I'm going to get it done. And if I don't, I'll be sleeping alone for a long time.
There's a number of different ways I could take this. I'm assuming he's talking about his wife and not like collegians. Who knows? I don't assume anything, including, you know, apparently we can't assume anything about anybody. I'm just saying. So this was a very weird, very weird town hall. It was weird. And I don't think that anything was solved in this. He said that he also agreed with terminating police officers who do not get the vaccine. He had said this. And I also think, too, that this is just them. And I have this audio. I also think that this is just them. Really, this is like another defund the police. Listen.
In three emergency responders in some cities like Chicago, Los Angeles, right here in Baltimore, are refusing to comply with city vaccine mandates. I'm wondering where you stand on that. Should police officers, emergency responders, be mandated to get vaccines? And if not, should they be stay at home or let go?
Yes and yes.
So yeah, they do. They are for defunding the police. Yeah, look at that. See, they're back to it now. Dude, I'm telling you, this was a weird thing. It was just kind of a train wreck. And then when he was asked about the border, can I play this for you?
Sure.
We got this. Listen to this.
Do you have plans to visit the southern border?
I've been there before, and I haven't. I mean, I know it well. I guess I should go down, but the whole point of it is I haven't had a whole hell of a lot of time to get down. I've been spending time going around looking at the $900 billion worth of damage done by hurricanes and floods and weather and traveling around the world. But I plan on, now my wife Jill has been down. She's been on
both
sides of the river. She's seen the circumstances there. She's looked into those places. You notice you're not seeing.
So he went, he's had time to go to the beach for a weekend. He's spent most of his weekends in Delaware. He's only been on a couple of international trips. So I don't know what the hell he's talking about right there, but that's not right. That's, wow. He's been too busy. Remember all the hurricane damage he looked at? No. On the internet, maybe? Is that what he's talking about? I've been too busy on the computer. And then he made fun of freedom because he was talking about vaccines and everything else. Listen, this is where he was asked. I know we got to get moving, but I got to play this for you. Listen.
The two things that concern me. One are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on. Freedom.
Wow, you guys. That was last night. Do you see why now I didn't watch it, King? This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
All right, so a few things here. I gotta get that koala story from last hour out of my head. I don't know why they broke it down like this. So the Salt Lake County Health Department tracked the number of residents vaccinated by date of birth, they found that Leos have a full 70% vaccination rate. Aquarian, why are they doing this? They are the second most vaccinated at 67%. Scorpios were at the bottom of the list at 46%, right below Virgos at 50%. Now, they stood. They said they got mixed reviews, but they stood by it. They said that, I don't know. That's weird. Why do that like that? The highest was Leo, 70%, Aquarius, 67%, Aries, 59%, Sagittarius, 59%. Pisces is 51%. I'm disappointed that Libra's 54%. Not for the reasons that some people might think. Well, yeah, you might think that. Did the health department use tax dollars to do this? I'm just curious.
So apparently I'm dead last.
Look at you. But that's weird. Steve's dead last and yet he's not. How insane is that? That's weird. I don't know. Tax dollars went for this. Does it actually matter? I don't know if I actually... I don't know what I think about all that stuff. But anyway, I'm just waiting for the oils and crystals part next. Let's see here. Also, Joe Biden had said he's open to killing the filibuster. Of course, you know that. This was in the town hall last night. Additionally... Oh, this is awful. The Taliban, our Afghan partners, had beheaded a girl on who was on the national volleyball team. This is such a sad story. This is a report out of, European media. They said that one of the women who had previously played on the Afghan volleyball team, their national team, she was beheaded. She was one of the best players in the Kabul Municipality Volleyball Club. She was slaughtered in Kabul as troops searched for female sports players. Her coach told the Persian Independent. It was picked up by the New York Post and The Guardian. They said they had killed her earlier in the month, but they kept it hidden and threatened her family to not talk. Our Afghan partners, folks, stay with us. Long story short, I was really kind of blown away by A, how insane the wokery has gotten, and B, where it has spread and how fast it spread. And of course, one of the stories that we've been talking about this week is the situation with Superman, right? So Superman, you have Superman's son. I don't know why it should be important to any of us, like what his son wants to do, like in his romantical private time. I mean, it's like, do we really care? Can you kill people that are bad? You can? Okay, let's go do that. And by let's, you. And then this, now it's not truth, justice in the American way. It's truth, justice, and a better tomorrow, whatever the hell that means. And a lot of people have been speaking out about it, but none more so influential than the people who are in the industry who help create these characters that you have grown to love. And one of those artists joins us now, Ethan Van Sciver, who has a really cool name. I mean, he has three names. Ethan Van Sciver. That's a pretty authoritative name. I dig it. And Ethan, you can find him all caps comics on Twitter at Ethan Van Sciver. And he's illustrated, he's done covers for a number of different titles, you know, working with primarily DC, as I understand it. And you can also find him at comicsgate.org. He's spoken out about this quite a bit. And Ethan joins us now via Skype. Ethan, pleasure to see you. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Well, this is a real pleasure. I appreciate it. I'm a big fan, so it's nice to be on the show.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm a big fan of what you do. And this is why when I see, you know, people of your stature in this industry that speak out on this, I mean, when the people who are creating the worlds that we see and who are bringing them to life and who are, however, in whatever aspect, that's pretty significant. Talk to me a little bit about this, because I know you've tweeted about it extensively, and there's been a lot of feedback that we've gotten since talking about the story from around the country and our markets around the country from folks. How do you react to this? Because it's Superman. This is where people go for an escape, and now you can't escape anything anywhere.
No, it's so typical. I mean, the industry, the comic book industry, like a lot of other industries that are kind of hobby-based, that are, you know, for kids, that are all about raising kids with a sense of morals and who they're supposed to be, have been invaded by these social justice warriors. They're radical left-wing activists. And for some reason, these big corporations are allowing them. I think they're hiring them on purpose at this point. I think that it's part of the agenda. And DC Comics held out for a long time. Marvel Comics went woke way back in 2014 or 2015. DC Comics kind of held out. But recently they were purchased by a bigger corporation, AT&T, which is like $171 billion in debt. And so they purchased Warner Media, which includes DC Comics, for the intent purpose, I guess, of trying to get out of debt. And the first thing that they did was they fired everybody that I knew in editorial that was holding out against woke. Fired them. All of the editorial, all of the people that I worked with, gone, and replaced them with activists who are now one by one changing all of these characters and into woke diversity versions of these characters. Wonder Woman is now gay. Aqualad is now gay. Robin is gay. The new thing, Superman is gay. Catwoman is gay. Poison Ivy.
Catwoman,
yes. I mean, that's shocking, isn't it? I thought she had a thing with Batman.
Yeah, I thought she had a thing with Batman. I mean, that's this. It is. And we're talking with Ethan Van Sciver, who is an illustrator, and he's worked with DC, and he's, you know, helped bring all these characters to life over the years. I mean, I understand the argument that people have when they're like, oh, I want representation and whatever. Why can't you create your own thing? Why do you have to rewrite canon?
Well, that's a good question. You know, they've announced that they're going to do a black Superman and a black Batman. They're going to be making movies about these new versions of those characters. And I've asked them, I've said, you know, back in 1993, they hired a whole collection of like amazing African-American creators who created something called Milestone Comics, brand new African-American superheroes who everybody loved. But they didn't sell well enough. And so DC Comics kind of just shelved those characters and those creators. And even though fans have been asking for those Milestone creators to come back with their characters for 25 years now, they're not, for some reason. And I think it's because those creators have a piece of those characters and DC's going to have to shell out money to them. Wow. Instead, why not do diversity this way, you know, by taking characters that we own more of and then turning them into diverse versions of those characters, save a little money. And a lot of this is about copyright and trademark issues. A lot of it is. The Truth, Justice, and the American Way line that everybody loves, they lost the trademark to it. It was a trademark line.
What? How do you lose? Who dropped that ball? How do you lose that trademark?
It's not their fault. I want to blame them, but it's not their fault. It just became generic. So, you know, you could say, hey, this is the Danish show. We're all about truth, justice, and the American way. It's like aspirin. Everybody uses that phrase now. DC Comics, according to the USPTO, can no longer trademark that phrase. They still have faster than a speeding bullet, but they lost it and they were embarrassed about it. They've been hiding the fact that they lost it since 2006. And if you remember the Superman Returns movie, okay, there was a scene where Perry White goes, Superman, he's all about truth, justice, and all that other stuff, right?
Oh, my God.
They were embarrassed of it.
That you just that is all, like, resonating with me right now. And I did not even notice that at the time. I did not even notice it.
Everybody
so it
was frustrated by it. We all kind of went, what's going on? Why are you ashamed of America all of a sudden, DC? Well, I think they feigned a little bit more in that direction. They had Superman renounce his American citizenship in, I think, 2010 it was. He said he no longer wanted to be an instrument of American foreign policy. Stop. You know, it's like Superman. Don't think of Superman that way. Superman is, he represents what's wonderful about America. He represents the fact that we have power, terrific, amazing power. We were raised with American values. And we fight against tyranny. That's what Superman's meant to be. That's what America is. That's what the American way is.
Exactly.
Individualism.
It almost feels weird to say I'm glad it's more of a trademark issue than the wokery issue, at least for. Although him say, you know, as you were just saying, renouncing his citizenship and all of that stuff. That's, I mean, that doesn't, I mean, and that's the thing, you know, the activists and everybody that they all get involved in this and then they feel like they have to like rewrite these characters. To me, that seems insulting to the representation and their objective, because they're limiting themselves to what is already created instead of, and I understand that with, you know, now with AT&T owning all of this, that it might be, you know, a monetary issue. But think of, I mean, if they write a really good character, that would go crazy. People are starved for good original content. Hell, that's why I started watching anime during lockdown, because I couldn't find anything good and original anymore. So I became like this anime like monster, and I was embarrassed about it at first. Now I don't care. I love it. But talk to us a little bit about that, because there's so many more ideas out there, and it just is like just trying to work in the confines of what's already created. That's not fun.
No, it isn't. But I mean, these are corporate characters now. It's no longer about creativity. All they're doing is pumping out propaganda. And one has to wonder, I'm gonna blow your mind here a little bit, and I want you to think about this. This is just a theory I have, okay? And this is what I do on my YouTube channel. I theorize, and I tend to be right. I happen to know that there are woke librarians who actually receive taxpayer funding and then spend that money on small press companies and say, if you hired these woke creators to make James Bond into a transgendered black woman, then we will buy a whole gross of these books, of these graphic novels, to stock in our libraries. This is a fact. This is actually going on right now. Okay, so there's a lot of this kind of SJW far left wing radical propaganda disguised as graphic novels appearing in public libraries.
Librarians.
That's right. So wait a second. Is this happening on a bigger level? Okay. I mean, is it possible that these big corporations who are terribly in debt are receiving money from the government to make propaganda out of superheroes?
Ooh.
I think it deserves a little investigation, and that's what I'm going to do on my YouTube channel.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I think I'm right.
I want to watch and listen to that for sure, because it wouldn't be the first time the government's done stuff like this. I mean, I think of all of the propaganda in World War One and World War Two. Those were, I mean, it was propaganda, but they were cool looking propaganda posters, and they weren't mean. It was like, ladies, do your hair in victory rolls and plant your victory garden. And my favorite was, if you're not carpooling, then you're riding with Hitler. That was an actual poster that they had. It legit was a real poster that they put out. So it was there was one common enemy. Now, and that's the other thing, the world seems to be so reduced with this. And my mind is completely blown that I feel like we now need to get more people in librarian services. That's like a science. What is it? Library science or something like that? Mm-hmm. We're missing, as you know, independent thinkers. We need to also conquer that area too. But it does feel like all of the fights and everything that all of the social justice warriors have, they're diminishing the big good versus evil fights that you're able to have in these amazing, you know, fantasy spaces and in the world of comics. They're reducing everything down to fighting because, you know, over gender recognition or who someone's boyfriend or girlfriend is. And oh my gosh, like, can we aim higher?
No, Dana, see, they're good and we're evil. That's the entire point of everything that they want to say. That's what it comes down to. You know, liberal, far left wing. I don't even want to say liberal anymore.
I know. Liberals. Yeah, because it's an far insult to classical radicals. Liberals. Yeah.
Yes. Far left wing radicals are good guys. They are good people and we are bad people. And we're just going to have to deal with that through every aspect of entertainment that we used to enjoy. And that's just the way it's going to be. They just announced today that the Amazons on Paradise Island, where Wonder Woman grew up, are trans.
What?
Yes, it doesn't make any sense.
That completely, you know what? No, screw that. Screw that, because they were amazing, strong women who kicked ass, and I refuse to accept this. They're robbing women of, like, iconic female characters. No, I will riot. I've never rioted before. Not sure how that will work. But we'll figure something out.
We don't know how.
You're kidding me.
Conservatives. We don't know how to riot. Sorry.
Yeah, we don't. Like, would you like knock over some of the coffee displays somewhere, or like kick a sweater set at the Gap? I don't even know what that.
I think you hold a sign and yell.
Yeah, that's true.
A circle,
yeah,
right?
Just politely though. Like, don't oppress us, please, with our signs. So now they're doing. I'm sorry, I interrupted you because you just kind of blew my mind for a second. I go ahead and please continue. I apologize.
Well, I mean, that's just it. I mean, that, you know, every single day, you know, DC Comics is currently they want to do more with gender. They want to do more with sexual identity. And again, you know, this is all stuff that's aimed at your kids. understand this is comics. You know, we talk about them. We still enjoy them. We're adults. I make them. I make them for a living. But all of this is aimed at socially engineering your children. That's why there are woke librarians buying this stuff and stocking it in public school libraries where your second grader can get a hold of it. They know what your kids are listening to, reading, looking at. They want to change your kids. We look at it as adults and we get angry because we're diverted. We're worried about, what about good stories?
Yeah.
And of course, yeah, it's not even about that. It's about changing who you are, changing who your kids are, and reaching your kids where you can't.
Wow.
Unless you can make comic books. Want to join me and make comic books?
I cannot draw for anything, but I will totally serve as in any capacity that I can. It'll be the worst comic book you've ever seen. And I can't color very well either. I know where my skill set is, man. I'm nowhere. I can't even compare. So Ethan, we're out of time, but I would love to have you back. Cause this is huge. And I think that this is a huge culture dictates everything. And I think that this is like one of the most important issues. And so I would love to have you back, and I'm definitely going to check out your YouTube channel when you dive down that rabbit hole and look at all of the propaganda, because that's fascinating. Ethan Van Scrivener, Scrivener. Now I'm talking about my writing app that I use for the love. I'm always like either someone's Twitter handle or their first name. So Ethan, I appreciate you joining us. Love to have you back. Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate
my
what
pleasure.
You do.
Anytime.
Take care. Thank you. Here's a crazy story. Down in Argentina, they have vineyards up at 9,000 feet. Almost unheard of for winemaking. Yet, they make world-class, like 90-point wine there. But they're almost impossible to get in the United States. These wines come from deep within the Andes Mountains, made by the same families for over 200 years. And the stories that I've heard from our friends over at Bonner Private Wines, it's a wonder how they even get these bottles down from the mountains. Magic. One of the founders almost died trying to find these remote vineyards. Died, almost. Needless to say, these wines are special, and they taste incredible. Notes of blackberry and dark cherry, leather, smoke. It's best friends with steak. Head on over to conservativewines.com. You'll find a Malbec from the third highest vineyard in the world. That's 8,950 feet, exactly. And a lot more, too. No inflated prices. You're getting top quality wine for about half the price. Plus, my listeners get 50% off today. No promo code necessary. Just head on over to conservativewines.com. That's conservativewines.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so I got a number of the beer. By the way, I now know that World of Beer is a real place. Thank you. I did not know that yesterday. So a Florida man fled officers on a tractor trailer while driving in the wrong direction on I-95, according to, this was in Maryland. He drove all the, Maryland State Police said they took a Florida man into custody after he fled officers while driving a tractor trailer in the wrong direction on I-95. Shortly before 12:30 p.m., troopers responded to the Maryland House Travel Plaza for a reported theft. They found a person who told police that his jacket and keys had been stolen while inside of the plaza. The victim notified the police that the suspect was the driver of a specific tractor trailer. And while the victim was informing the police of the theft, that exact time, police were advised of a tractor trailer exiting the travel plaza on the wrong side, and it began traveling south on the northbound lanes, driving against traffic. So after 3 miles, 37-year-old Maurice Cooper stopped the tractor trailer on the fast shoulder in an active work zone. Highway workers were working. They got him. The driver did not cooperate. He is now in the pokey. He's in jail. I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.